Are you ready for the Word of God? We're in a series called The End. If you think the last few weeks of this series were a little spooky and awkward, today is going to get a little more awkward. Because today we're going to talk about the tribulation, and a main character in the tribulation is going to be Antichrist. So get ready for that. Before I get into that, I'd like to start with a little example or illustration, let's say. Girls, let's say you're dating a guy, okay? Girls, you're dating a guy, and he's all into you and everything. And then you introduce him to your best friend, another girl. And suddenly, the attention that the guy used to give you, now he gives to your best friend. And now he's laughing with her at her jokes. He's agreeing with everything she says against what you say. He takes her side, not your side. Now he wants to spend more time with her doing homework, whatever. Just spend time. In church, they're just all together all the time. What would you say that guy's problem is? He's not really into you. He is into your best friend. He's not that into you. How about that? Let's say that, okay? Let me give you another illustration. Let's go with football guys, okay? Give you a guy illustration. Let's say you meet a guy and he says, I am for Seahawks. I want them to win the Super Bowl. And you're like, I'm for Seahawks too. Then you start talking to the guy and he can't stop talking about Peyton Manning. He just can't get enough of Peyton. Peyton this, Peyton that. Peyton is the greatest. Have you seen his stats? Have you seen his team? And Coach Fox is the best and Denver is awesome and all these things. And you're listening to him, you're like, dude, what team are you on? Right? What team are you on? I thought you were a Seahawks fan. Some of you are not into football. Let's take it a step further. Let's go politics, okay? In church, we're not political, okay? We're never going to be. Personally, I do believe you should vote. Let's say you meet somebody and they said, you're a Democrat. Let's say that. And you meet somebody else and they say, I'm a Democrat too. Then you start talking to them and all they talk about is how Republicans have the best candidate and how they have the best policies and how they're right. And you're looking at him and you're like, dude, are you a Republican in secret or something? What's your problem? Whose team are you on? Are you a secret spy or something? Whose team are you on? Today my message will go into that direction. Whose team are you on? Because when I was studying the book of Revelation, book of Daniel, the prophecies, the New Testament, I discovered that there's two churches in this world. There is a real church, the Bride of Christ, and there is a false church who's called the Great Harlot. There's a false church in this world. There's two types of believers. There's those who love Jesus and they're in love with Jesus. And there's those who are named by Jesus but do not love him. There's a real church and there is Laodicean church. How many of you know what Laodicean church is? It's the church that is neither hot or cold. Jesus said it's a lukewarm church. They don't really go for God, but most likely they agree with the world. So this is what happens. They say they are Christians, but when you talk to them, you're like, what are you doing? Whose team are you on? Are you on the world team or are you on Jesus's team? You see where I'm going with this? Jesus said the Laodicean church is the lukewarm church. They're kind of a church that complacent church. They're an ignorant church. They maybe came to church once and became a member. And they think that's all I need to be saved. They maybe came and raised their hand on Sunday and said, that's all. But when they go and live a life during the week, they live like they lived before. There's two churches. The interesting thing that Jesus said about this Laodicean church, the lukewarm church, he said, I will spit you out of my mouth. It's like a bitter thing. You eat and you go, pooh. Yeah, I can't. So when Jesus talks about, he says there's two churches. There's the Bride of Christ and there's this Laodicean church. We also see this in a parable of 10 virgins. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. I gotta go there, guys. I gotta go there. You know where I'm going, some of you. I'm going there. We were meeting with a few guys from the church and we were talking, you know, just the Bible. And eventually we somehow got to the 10 virgins. 5 wise, 5 foolish. A young man was sitting next to me and he was listening and listening. And then he said, hold on, who are these virgins? What did these virgins do? Did they, the foolish ones, did they lose their virginity or something? So I made him go and read the whole gospel. No, I'm just kidding. I made him go and read Matthew chapter 25. But in Matthew chapter 25, there's 10 brides who represent the church, and there's 5 wise and 5 foolish. 5 wise are in love with Jesus. They're filled with Jesus. 5 foolish are only have the appearance of Christianity, but they're not real Christian. And Jesus says to the 5 foolish, get away from me. I do not know you. So there's going to be 2 churches. Satan is going to make a pact. Antichrist is going to make a pact with that lukewarm church. He's going to make a pact with that foolish church, because that foolish church will have a hard time accepting when rapture happens that they weren't taken. My job as a pastor is not to pastor a foolish church. It's not to make you just feel good, although I do have messages that are make you feel good messages. Yeah, that God is going to bless you, and everything you touch is going to be blessed. And those who bless you will be blessed, and those who curse you will be cursed. I do have those messages because it is in the Bible. But I don't want to just preach on only the cake part of the Bible. I want to preach the meat of the Bible. I want to preach sometimes the milk of the Bible, right? I want to preach the living water of the Bible. There's more. Gospel is just not the gospel of prosperity or poverty or all these things. It's the gospel of the kingdom, Jesus said. And in it, there's many different little subjects that we have. And so I want us to be the church that is completely in love with Jesus, who is on fire for Jesus, and not just lukewarm church, that we come on Sunday, but we don't live it on Monday. We come on Sunday, and sometimes we even hate it when some deep truths are spoken from this place right here. We want to be a church that, yeah, it's uncomfortable, but guess what? It's in the Bible, and I accept the whole Bible, not just little parts. I'm not the editor in chief of the Bible. I choose whatever I want to. No, I'm a student of it. And if it's a book from God, then I accept it all or nothing at all. When I was 19 years old and I gave my life to Christ, I made a decision. I felt like a hypocrite because I was like lukewarm Christian. You know how when you first accept Jesus, you kind of, you love the world, but you love God, and you're kind of in the middle there. And eventually I felt such a hypocrite. And I said, God, either I'm going to serve you 100% or I'm going to serve the world 100%. You know what I mean? Either I'm going to live for you or I'm going to live for myself. Thank God he gave me the grace. It wasn't my strength, but he gave me the grace to serve him and not myself, because I would have destroyed myself already. Everyone who serves themselves eventually are destroyed by themselves. If you want to gain your life, you will lose it, Bible says. If you wanna gain the world, you might lose your soul. Let's get to the Antichrist. What are we doing? I don't have any time. Anyway, today, I want to introduce you to this guy named Antichrist. What I believe is, after the rapture, which we studied last week, comes 7 years of tribulation, the Great Tribulation Bible talks about. If you want to know more in detail what happens in Great Tribulation, you got to read the book of Revelations from chapter 7 to like chapter 18, 19 to know what really is going to happen if you're really interested. But after the rapture, where believers are taken or caught up in the air with Jesus, the world is left in chaos. Imagine if 500 million people disappeared from the world instantly. There would be a lot of chaos. There would be a lot of fear. And this is where a leader rises up. And this guy is amazing, okay? According to the world standards, he's amazing. Watch this. He will be an intellectual genius. He's going to be very smart. He's going to be a charismatic speaker. Media gonna love this guy. He's gonna be everything. He will look good on camera. He will behave right. He will be a great philanthropist. He will be for the people. He will be the nicest guy. A lot of times people think Antichrist will be a guy with horns. He will not. Trust me. His greatest power is deception. His greatest power is deception. He will be a commercial genius. He will be an economic genius, meaning he will create a system. How many of you know he will create a system where everyone will use the same currency? All the nations will use the same currency. They will not have physical money. They will have some kind of a mark or a chip maybe. I don't know what it is, but Bible talks about that they will have a mark on their foreheads or on their right arm. Okay? And without that mark, Revelation 13, you cannot buy anything and you cannot sell anything without it. Now, let me tell you from world point of view why that's a genius and why all the nations of the world and all the leaders of the world will accept that system fast. Let me tell you why. Because of tax revenues. Leaders fall, die, and on the tax revenues. Right now, there's a lot of cash dealings. People can steal money. People cannot pay their taxes. And we want everybody to pay their fair and share, right? Fair and share. We hear that in the news. Fair and share. And so he will provide a system to the leaders of the world, and he says, how would you like to double or triple your tax revenue? He says, all we have to do is just mark every person in your nation with a little tiny microscopic, you won't even see it or feel it, mark, whatever that thing is. Now, some people say it is a spiritual mark, but how do you not be able to buy something or sell something when it's spiritual? So I believe it has to be physical. So it's something physical. I think credit cards can be stolen, money can be stolen, your identity can be stolen, but when it's on your wrist and you go by the Walmart checkout, you go, or if it's here, you go, and that's it. You pay. Notice you won't be able to sell anything. And right now, this sounds crazy. I understand. Just me studying this again, I'm like, this is crazy. But the technology, everyone has a cell phone pretty much all over the world. Even the poorest nation, they don't have a house, they don't have a car, but they have a cell phone. How hard is it going to be to produce a silicone chip, a tiny little grain to put in your hand? It's not going to be hard. And the leaders of the world will jump on it because it's genius. Anything anybody buys, they get a tax revenue out of it. Anything anybody sells, they get a tax revenue out of it, right? Sounds great. So that's why leaders of the world will join Antichrist. And I don't know if he knows that he's an Antichrist right away. We'll get to that. But that's why I think he's a commercial genius. And it's written in 2 Thessalonians 2, 4 and Revelation 13, 8. He's going to know economy. He's going to say, people, there's so much cash activity that there's some people who don't pay taxes, and that's not fair. And you think about it, yeah, that's not fair. Everybody should pay taxes, right? So yeah, mark him. Mark him all. I read a news story that in England, starting, I think, year 17, they will begin to put a chip in every child born. So I don't think it's going to be like one quick thing, but it might be over a few years that they begin to mark people with this little chip. You know what happens to the dogs now? They put a chip in a dog, you can find your dog, right? It's a good thing. But for some reason, Bible says that that's not just going to be for economic reasons and to find you when you get lost or a child gets abducted, right? It's a good thing. I mean, from the world point of view, this is the best idea ever. And really, if you take God away, it's a great idea, guys. I think it's a great idea. If you take God away, sometimes you think, God, what is your problem? You know, just let him do that. That's smart. Nobody can rob you anymore at the gunpoint. Give me your money. You won't be afraid walking around with $1,000 in your pocket because it's all going to be here. I mean, it's a smart idea. That's why the leaders of the world will jump at it. And God says to his saints, no, no. Believers, Bible talks about in Ephesians chapter 2, are marked by the Holy Spirit on their foreheads. It's a spiritual mark. Satan always copies everything that Jesus does and he wants to pervert it. So he cannot put a spiritual mark on you, so he puts a physical mark on you. In the day of Nero, you had to pledge allegiance to the God of Nero. You had to come to the fire and grab a little bit of dust, some certain dust, and you put on that fire before you can speak to the Nero. And that's how you pledged allegiance to the God of the Nero. Okay? I think this is the same thing. This just shows, this is the way Satan and Antichrist says, these are my people. Everyone who is marked, he's saying to God, he's saying to the saints, everyone who is marked on my side, everyone who is not, he's going to kill or try to kill or imprison. Okay? There's going to be a greatest genocide the world has ever seen because there will be people in the tribulation who will not accept the mark because they believe in Christ. And we'll get to that in a second. He will be a military genius. Why do I know this? He will make all nations of the world serve him as a leader. Somehow, he will force, twist, manipulate, by a way for people and leaders of the world to have one system. There's going to be a one world government eventually. It's happening. You can see it. The world is kind of becoming uniting. There will be, Bible says, a one world system. Something else about this man, this great leader, he's going to be a religious genius. He will know the Torah. He will know the Bible. When he speaks to a Jew, he'll quote scripture to them. What is the best way to get into the heart of a person is to touch their religion and say you're of the same religion. You come to a person and say, you're a Christian? I'm too. You know this verse? Yeah, I know this verse. Do you know this verse? Yeah, I know this verse. So when he comes to a Jew, he'll speak the Jewish scripture. When he comes to a Muslim, he will speak a Muslim scripture. When he comes to a Christian who is of Laodicean descent, who are from the foolish church, not from the wise, because we believe wise church is taken already. He comes to them and he quotes their scripture. But he hates God or anything of God. Most of all, he hates the name of Jesus. Most of all, he doesn't mind God. He hates the name of Jesus. Bible says that. He hates the name of Jesus. And today in our culture, we already see this spirit of Antichrist working. How do I know that? Because you can talk about God. Just don't talk about Jesus. In our culture, you can say, yeah, I believe in God, but don't say the name of Jesus. Because God could be anything for anybody. He could be God of same love, right? It doesn't mean he's the God of the Bible. So he's going to be a very smart religious genius. Something else about him that you might think it's interesting. I thought it was. He will not have a desire for women. Let's put that scripture on Daniel 11, 37. He shall regard neither the God of his forefathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall exalt himself above them all. So he will not desire women. What does that mean? He might be a homosexual or asexual. Asexual means that he doesn't have desire for men or women. But when you look at our culture today, what part of sexuality is being promoted like crazy? And every preacher who goes on CNN, they ask him one question. And this question determines if he is on the side of the world Christian or he's on the side of the real church Christian. What do you think about same-sex marriage? Right? If you say, I think it's okay, then the world says, good Christian, yeah. If you say, what does the Bible say? They will call you a heretic, a fool. You will never get invited again. They'll dig into your past and find crazy things to say about you. There you go. He will not have desire. Personally, I think that's what he's going to be. He's going to be possibly a homosexual. He will not have a desire for women. And that's why we see the homosexual propaganda is moving so much into the nation. Right now, it's moving to the Disney movies. I know some of you, it's too much. What I'm talking about is too much. And I give you permission to come back next Sunday. Because this is crazy, but this is the Bible, okay? This is the Bible. Now, you can do whatever with that verse you want, but it does say he will not have desire for women. He's going to be smooth talking. He's going to be good looking. Media will be in love with him, and he will not have any horns. Why am I talking about him right now? Because we don't know when rapture will happen. If rapture happens before the Great Tribulation, then we don't have to worry about this, except those who are left behind. But if rapture doesn't come before the Great Tribulation, then we will have to be here. And the goal is going to be this, deception. Antichrist's number one job will be deception, to deceive people. And so what you have to do is be ready for both. Be ready for Christ coming and rapturing the church, or being ready, if he doesn't come to rapture the church how we think he will, then we will have to live through this. And we are going to have to fill ourselves with oil. We're going to have to be the wise virgins, filled with oil, filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Word of God. Because if you're not, you're going to be easily deceived. This man is going to be amazing. This man is going to be great. He's going to be all the qualities the world loves. Media will promote him. David Letterman will promote him. Jimmy Kimmel will promote him. I mean, he's going to be the it. Antichrist, who is it? Who is he? Antichrist comes from two words out of Greek, and those two root words is anti-Christos. Anti means against or oppose. Christos means the anointed one. So
We call him Jesus Christ. Christ and Christos. In Ukrainian, it's Christos. In Hebrew, it's Messiah. What did these words mean? It's the same word in different languages. What is it in Spanish? Jesus Christos? Cristo. Okay, so we got a lot of languages here. What is it in Vietnamese? Maybe we can't say it. Jesus Christ? Okay. The anointed one means this. When Israel would appoint a king, like King David, the prophet would come and grab a flack of oil and pour it on him. And oil will drip, and oil would represent Holy Spirit. Meaning, the king of Israel could not just be a regular king like the worldly kings. He had to be anointed by God. And so Israel right now are waiting for the Messiah or the anointed one. Antichrist will be opposed to the anointed one. Opposed or against the anointed one. That's all it means. John, the disciple of Jesus, he coined that phrase, Antichrist. He's the only one who mentions it. It's mentioned 5 times in the New Testament only. However, Antichrist is mentioned over 60 times under many different names throughout the whole Bible. Do you want to know what those names are? Let's go. I'm not going to give you 50 of them. You're like, oh, 50 names. I'm going to give you 5 or so. He's going to be called the seed of a serpent. That's Genesis 7. The willful king. The man of lawlessness. The profane and wicked prince of Israel. He will be called a wicked one. Antichrist is also called a beast. Okay? And then Antichrist. Let's read 1 John 2:18. Dear children, the last hour is here. You have heard that the Antichrist is coming, and already many such Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that the last hour has come. Next verse, 22. And who is a liar? Anyone who says that Jesus is not the Christ, not the anointed one. Anyone who denies the Father and the Son is an Antichrist. Anyone who denies the Son doesn't have the Father either. But anyone who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. So here we see, for the first time, Antichrist appears. Antichrist, or the beast, is like satanic Superman. The question that's often asked, does this leader know that he's the Antichrist? It's a great question. Does this man know that he's an Antichrist? I don't think so. I don't think in the beginning he knows that he's Antichrist. Because Satan is not all-knowing. I believe that Satan has prepared a man who could fit the profile of the Antichrist in every generation since Jesus Christ. Because Satan is not in control of time. God is. Satan doesn't know when he will be released to rule this world unopposed for 7 years. He doesn't know that time when church will be taken and he can rule whatever he wants. So guess what he does? He prepares multiple men and women, I think, in every generation to fit that profile. So I don't think Antichrist will know who he is. Another proof of that is Judas the Iscariot, the one who sold Jesus. Did he know that he was the so-called Antichrist? No, he didn't know. He was just one of the disciples. But guess what? Although he was with Jesus, he knew Jesus, he wasn't transformed by Jesus. That's it. He knew Jesus, he walked with Jesus, but he didn't know. And Bible says Satan entered Judas when he took communion. Do you remember that? And Judas went and sold Christ to the Pharisees. And eventually Jesus Christ was crucified. And Bible says he was predestined for that job. He was called the son of perdition or son of destruction. And guess who else in the Bible gets that name? Antichrist. He's called the son of perdition, son of destruction. So I think he's going to be naturally gifted man with all these gifts until Satan enters him, Bible says. He gets possessed and then he gets superpowers. And he begins to do magnificent things. He begins to be successful. There's going to be no opposition to this man. This man will do whatever he wills. That's why he's called the willful king. He will ignore laws that stand against him or stand in his way. You know, Medes and Persians, if they made a commitment to the law, they stick to it. This man will ignore a law because he will say, I make the law here. He's going to be the wicked one. In the beginning of the tribulation, he comes on the scene. But somewhere in the middle of 7 years of tribulation, Satan enters him and becomes evil. The world will love this guy, but eventually he will go bad. Every generation since Jesus Christ, I believe, had the Antichrist ready. Satan had them ready. Except they died. You know why? Because Jesus decides when the time comes. But Satan wants to make sure he's ready. So he chooses the best, the brightest, the smartest men with leadership position, with great abilities, with great intellect, with great education. And he wants to use them for his purposes. To do what he couldn't do since the beginning of time. That's why Martin Luther, who lived in 1500s, he said Antichrist is the Pope. Because he fits all the qualifications. And then Pope died, well, not Antichrist. Then people said that Nero was the Antichrist. Then Nero died and didn't fulfill. He was a little bit Antichrist, you know, because some of them fill some of the prophecies to be that Antichrist. But the time Jesus didn't took away that resistance of the Holy Spirit. See, when Antichrist really comes to power, there will be no resistance. He will do whatever he wants. Napoleon was Antichrist, people said. Hitler was definitely, people said, an Antichrist. Did you know that in his writings, before he killed himself, he said, I gave my soul to the devil. Hitler says that. He was ready for Satan to help him win over, you know, United States and Russia, attacking him from both sides, from West and from the East, coming and squeezing him. So he gave his soul completely to the devil. But it wasn't the time because God said it wasn't the time. God is still always in control. Through tribulation, he's still in control. He just gives this guy, okay, go ahead. Go ahead. See, for 2,000 years or more, leaders of the world have always said that Christians are parasites to our societies. They kind of have their own ways of doing things. They never really submit and let us do whatever we want to do. Christians kind of have been in the opposition to the governments. And God says, okay, since they're the problem, you think you can do better without me in this world, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to take him and give you the rule. And then Antichrist comes in and horrible things happen in the world. I don't have the time anymore to explain to you what happens, but I wish that you would go to the book of Revelation, chapter 6 through chapter 19. Please read what's going to happen in this world. And it's a little bit confusing, but you'll get the main picture. It will be a tough time in the world. In the beginning of the 7 years, Antichrist will be a man of peace. He will bring peace to the world, and especially he will bring peace to Israel. He will broker a 7-year peace with Israel, with inclusion that the temple will be built. So he will be for the Jews. He'll be a friend of Jews. And Palestinians will get their own state finally. And they will allow the Jews to build the temple. And at 3.5 years, he comes in and sits in a temple in the Holy of Holies and declares himself God. And first, Jews believe that he might be their Messiah because he brings peace and he's a friend of Israel. And maybe he could be Jew or part Jewish. That's why Jews are waiting for their Messiah right now. Did you know that? Jesus said, I come to you from my Father, you don't believe me. Another one will come from the devil and you will believe him. That's what Jesus said. And you know, over the last 2,000 years, there's been 3 instances that Jews believed that their Messiah has come in a man, one or the other, and all of them were false. So when the real one came, they disbelieved him. But when the false one came, they did believe him. So they will believe in this man as well. But what Jewish people believe is that Messiah is not a god. They believe he's going to be like King David or Solomon, a man anointed one. He's not a demigod. He's not half god, half man. He's going to be a man anointed, and he's going to be a man of great victories and great intellect, and he will believe in Torah and everything like that. Oh, I wish I had more time. Wish I had more time. But after Antichrist comes and sits in the Holy of Holies of the temple that the Jews build, they will realize this is not the guy. This is not the guy. The most amazing thing will happen, and this is, I'm going to finish with this, in the Great Tribulation, is that 2 witnesses will rise and preach Jesus in the spirit of Elijah, the Bible says. And Antichrist will try to kill him, but won't be able to. Read the Bible. I want you to hear about this. They will produce 144,000 evangelists who will go around the world preaching the gospel. So there will be a second great revival. Lots of Jewish people will get saved. And I believe some of the Gentiles will be saved as well because they're saints, Bible says. When Jews reject Antichrist at 3.5 year period mark, when he sits in the temple and they say, he's a blasphemy, he's not the real thing, he will rise up. And at that time, the Spirit of God comes on the whole nation of Israel, and thousands upon thousands of people believe in Jesus, the Jews. You know that Jews are the hardest people to win for Christ right now? During the tribulation, after they realize this guy was not the Christ, a spirit of God will come upon the whole nation and they will believe in the one that they pierced, the Bible says. There's going to be a massive revival. And Antichrist is going to, the devil inside of him is going to get mad because they will not accept the mark. They will not worship him. They will not bow down to the statue that he builds that comes alive. They will not do that. So guess what he does? He begins the greatest persecution the world has ever seen. If you don't receive the mark, the Bible says you will either be put in prison or killed. And how you're going to be killed is by the sword. I don't know if that's literal or that's just what they used then, and that's what John says, but they will be killed by the sword. So there's going to be the greatest genocide the world has ever seen. After 3.5 years, because he's going to rule only as Antichrist for 3.5 years. 3.5 years, he's just a man, great leader. And for the next 3.5 years, 42 months, he's the Antichrist because he's empowered with the spirit of the devil. And something crazy happens at the end of the 7-year period. Jesus Christ comes with his saints, which I believe is the church, us. And he destroys them with the word of his mouth. I don't know what that means, but Jesus Christ comes again. And Satan is bound. Antichrist is bound. The false prophet, who's like John the Baptist for Jesus, promoting Jesus. This Antichrist will have a John the Baptist too. It's called false prophet, who will do miracles. And then he'll point to this beast, who is the Antichrist. And Satan is bound and thrown, and 1,000-year millennium begins. Now, I can't tell you that I understand everything from the Bible. And maybe today you have more questions than you came with. That's why you should get into the Bible and study. I have never studied the Bible for a message like I did for this. It's been an amazing time. I loved it. And I'm not stopping. I am intrigued. I am excited. I love the Word of God. I hope you do too. You have lots of questions right now. In life groups, would you come and bring those questions and talk about them? Because Antichrist is easier to understand because there's so much written about him. Talk about that. Make it to these life groups. We have a youth life groups. We have young couples life groups. We have older couples and singles life groups. There's singles life groups. There's couples. There's life groups and life groups. I mean, we're doing it because we love Jesus. We want to know more of Jesus. We want to be ready either for his rapture return or to live through. We want to be ready. We don't want to be those foolish believers who end up left behind. Jesus is coming. He said that. You don't know the day or the hour when the Son of Man is coming. So be ready. When you're a Christian, you're not scared of this Antichrist stuff. You're not. This doesn't freak you out. This excites you. It excites me. I mean, I'm zero freaked out about this thing. Zero. I mean, really, because I know that Jesus is in control. He's in charge. Father, we just worship you right now. Father, we lift you up. We thank you that you are in control. We thank you that you hold the whole world in your hand. Evil has no power unless you permit it, Father. I thank you that you are our God and we believe in Jesus, who is the real Son of God, who came to this world and died for our sins. And we all fall short, God, but his blood washes us clean. Life was given, blood was shed for my sins. It was supposed to be me, but he took my place. And now I am forgiven. I am a part of the family of God. I have the peace with God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.